from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Joining us now here on Wisconsin Sports Daily is Brandon Scoop B. Robinson, NBA reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Scoop B. And of course, make sure to check out Scoop B Radio. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. I'm curious because, you know, you're the national perspective. You're not in Milwaukee. You're not here a part of Bucks fan nation and so forth. But earlier we were talking about the Bucks and kind of, you know, they get Dalen right. Okay, that's fine. But you look at what New York has done, what obviously Boston is doing, re-signing everybody, even though they're up for sale now, what the Philadelphia 76ers did by getting Paul George. Where does Milwaukee go from here? I mean, how much of a true title contender are they in your mind right now?
I mean, I think they still have a roster to contend. I just think that, you know, injuries and coaching changes is really what was the Achilles heel, I feel, for the Bucks. But I'm probably one of the minorities that feels like the Bucks are part of that new wave in the NBA where there's no back-to-back champions. It's very much like college. So it might swing the Bucks' way. It might not. It might not even swing the Knicks or the Celtics' way. It really is. It's really about just the right runs, the right circumstances, the right roster construction, and just the second half of the season swinging someone's way. It's anybody's ballgame. Heck, I think if we put a AAU team like together, we might be able to contend, jokingly, of course, but it's just not what it used to be when you had back-to-back champions like the Warriors and the Bulls in years past.
All right, I agree with you. I'm not there on Boston necessarily being a repeat champion. However, the Paul George signing is interesting because Embiid had problems staying healthy. Paul George, you know, played a bunch of games last year, but prior to that was averaging, I think, less than 50 games a year. He's had a problem staying healthy. Maxey came out of nowhere last year and really played a lot better than maybe people thought, got most improved player, and I don't see him, you know, going backwards. I think he just gets better. I like him a lot. How good can Philly be if George and Embiid can actually stay healthy?
I don't think they can be good. I think they can be great, honestly. When you look at the 76ers this year, the injury to Joel Embiid changed the trajectory of everything. If you guys recall, many were discussing the Joel Embiid as early on in the season as a potential repeat MVP
for
candidate.
Sure. Yep.
And then injuries, you know, were really against them. But I'll add, you know, when I looked at the Sixers and I looked at Embiid, I felt like he responded to peer pressure. That's my opinion, because people felt that he should have played, and then people felt like, oh, you know, load management, just all of that conversation. And I really felt that it was to his detriment that he played, because if you remember, roster construction was such a big thing for Philly. Philly had, you know, a lot of pieces, and then they had to go in and, you know, bring in the Kyle Lowrys, bring in the Buddy Hield and more. And then I felt like that team had to play together. The thing that really saved the Sixers this season was Kelly Oubre, who almost did not become a 76er. He also resigned during the free agency period. But, you know, this is a guy who was so upset because the Lakers didn't want him at first, so he saw it. They actually did want him. Palenka wanted him. It was more Kurt Rambis who didn't want him. And then, you know, you go on and on and on. To get back to your question, adding Paul George to the fold is a three-headed monster. That is a benefit to Philly. It's not what they had in Ben Simmons. It's not what they had with Harden. And hopefully this is what they both needed. Paul George getting a fresh start, and Embiid getting a swingman that's a benefit, and Maxey ingratiating himself as the point guard of the future for the Sixers. It makes them more of a competitive team. I actually like the fact that they added Andre Drummond to the fold also. He was not his first stint with the Sixers, his second stint. And at points when Embiid was out, Drummond worked magically to make that team cohesive in Embiid's absence. So I do like the addition, but roster versus actuality on the court are two different things, as you know.
Talking about with Scoop B. Robinson. Follow him on Twitter at Scoop B. I want to get your thoughts on Hartenstein leaving the Knicks and heading to Oklahoma City. I think it's a huge overpay myself. But having said all of that, how big of an impact is it on the Knicks? Because I felt like he was kind of like the Bobby Portis for the Knicks. Got the players going, got the fans going, was that energy guy for them for sure. And then what do you think it means to Oklahoma City? Because again, as I said, I thought it was too much. He's not really a rim protector, and I think nowadays in the NBA you need a rim protector.
Well, first of all, I have to disagree with you on the Bobby Portis comparison, because there's only one Bobby Portis, but I understand the sentiment as the heart and soul of that team, yeah. And Hardenstein was that, respectfully. I do think that just the way that the Knicks played this season with Hardenstein as the defensive anchor, he definitely brought it, but there's such a logjam at the 4 and 5 position with Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, et cetera. And also just the way that Jalen Brunson played throughout the course of the season, adding OG Anunoby at the deadline and then re-signing him this offseason and adding Bridges. You definitely added guard health. But I am concerned about Mitchell Robinson's health long-term, and I'm concerned as to whether letting Hardenstein go will be a bite in the butt come playoff time, because he was old reliable. And I really think Oklahoma got a gem in Hardenstein alongside Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and others. I really like the fact that the man got his money. I believe it was the great philosopher Fat Joe who once said, yesterday's price is not today's price. And today's price is definitely going to create generational wealth in his family. So I'm glad he got the money, but I still do have some questions about the Knicks. Okay, the Knicks got what they got, but the Sixers got better. Boston is still the champs. And to be honest with you, a conversation that's not talked about enough is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signing with the Orlando Magic. He is what they needed as far as a scorer goes, as far as a deep ball threat, and a guy with some championship experience. And so I think, you know, to go back to your original question, Hardenstein leaving concerns me. Orlando getting Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I'm proud of.
All right, let's talk about Oklahoma City, because not only did they get him, they got Caruso as well. How close are they to, you know, being a team that comes out of the West? Because I loved Minnesota's draft, loved the T-Wolves draft.
Oh, we're on the same page, my brother. I like both Minnesota's draft. I like Minnesota's team, but I also like Oklahoma. Over the last couple of seasons, I've spent significant time in both cities. And the fact that those guys were such the best-kept secret in a very competitive West for so long I don't know. I think the national perspective was laid on this one, because Minnesota and Oklahoma both came to play this season. And the Western Conference doesn't get any easier. In a world where we talk about the Lakers, we talk about LeBron, who wasn't able to get Klay Thompson to come to the Lakers, and from what I understand was a 4-year, $80 million tender that takes significantly less to go to Dallas, who got so much better. That's saying something. But the thing that I like about Oklahoma and the thing that I like about Minnesota is that they were built off of drafts, small free agency moves, and chemistry, and you can't replicate that, particularly because they happen in such a small market. Hardenstein actually did the reverse. He went to Oklahoma after being in a big city in New York, and he's going to save a ton of money, which I think is pretty cool. But he comes to a team that's pretty much loaded. Alex Caruso was the defensive stopper that the Thunder needed, specifically because you're going against Minnesota's and you need a defensive cover on Anthony Edwards, who is light years away or light years ahead, excuse me, of a lot of his peers. And he's envisioned that both Oklahoma and Minnesota are built.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
To compete against each other, and they've done a good job. I really like with Oklahoma and what Minnesota's doing in a world where we're constantly talking about LeBron, the Warriors, the Clippers, and the Knicks. We're talking about Minnesota and Oklahoma, and I think that's great for basketball.
What about Dallas? I mean, if they're able to pull this trade off, this three-way trade, and they get Klay Thompson in this 3-year deal that they're talking about, how much better does Dallas get adding him to what they already have?
Well, the whole Klay Thompson going to Dallas, I think, is good because, number one, Dallas benefits from Kyrie and Klay's ear for quite a bit of time, them both wearing Anta sneakers, a Chinese brand. That's great for branding and marketing purposes.
For sure.
But also, Dallas clean house by moving Tim Hardaway Jr. to Detroit, a team that just recently signed Tobias Harris as well. And hired J.B. Bickerstaff as their head coach. I think that when you look at Dallas, I think they're the team of the future. I mean, this is a team that really rebooted their roster in season, and they struggled at the beginning of the season. Like, I feel like the in-season tournament is where they started to kind of get their mojo. But they really, really got their mojo when they got Daniel Gafford from the Washington Wizards, the landlord, as they call him. Adding Gafford to the fold, along with Kyrie, along with Luka and others in Jason Kidd's system. From folks that I speak with on the Dallas side, bringing in Klay is a dream situation because who better but to have a third shooter or a third scorer, particularly someone like Klay who gets the benefit of getting the basketball off double-team covers on Kyrie and Luka. It's a great move. Like, not only do you have lobs as your option, you have the three-point shot as the world being your oyster, so to speak. I think it's good. I don't envision that Dallas is finished, but I do think that this is a step in the right direction to really build a championship-caliber team in the next 2 to 3 years.
Scoop, GM LeBron failed, man. He didn't get anybody. And now I saw something before you came on that, well, now this puts him in a position to get – you know, as much money as he can get without having to take a discount to try and get somebody else into L.A., which means L.A. is not going to be any better next year probably than they were this year.
Are you shocked?
A little bit, yeah. I thought he would have been able to pull Klay off. I did. Going into this, I was like, yeah, he'll end up getting Klay Thompson, another old guy to go along with the collection of old guys he has already. I thought that was a possibility. I did. I really did. Now, Brooke Lopez's name I've heard mentioned with the Lakers. I've heard Brooke Lopez maybe mentioned with the Pelicans. Maybe they could use a Brooke Lopez. I don't know if the Bucks end up trading Brooke one way or the other, but it looks like to me that Lakers probably miss out now.
Well, to answer your question directly about Brooke Lopez, well, you didn't ask a question to your statement. What I will say is that I put out a report last night. I'm scrolling through my Twitter as I'm speaking to you, but basically the Brandon Ingram thing could be pulled
with the Kings.
That could be a bigger move. I reported yesterday that the New Orleans Pelicans and Ingram are willing to work together to either get Ingram to a new team or bring Ingram back on a deal that works for both parties. Sacramento is a front runner, but Harrison Barnes and draft capital are things that the Pelicans may be considering. I say that to say this. If you look at the move that was made with the Atlanta Hawks and the Pelicans for DeJounte Murray and a couple of other moves that are being made, it could be part of a bigger picture or a bigger trade. You kind of saw that a couple of off seasons ago between the Wizards, the Lakers, and I believe it was Sacramento, where Spencer Dinwiddie was on the move, Kyle Kuzma was on the move, and some of those other pieces went to the Washington Wizards, went to the Sacramento Kings, and more. Who's to say that the Bucks could not be a part of that move? The Bucks, you know, drafted a center. The Bucks have, you know, been looking to improve, particularly because Jonas Valanciunas is now a member of the Washington Wizards. So nothing that I've heard, but if I am paying attention to the tea leaves, there could be a chance that the Bucks could be a part of a bigger move. But I think more than anything else, to directly answer your question about Brook Lopez, why go back to the Lakers when you have something good in Milwaukee with the Bucks? I don't look at the Lakers as a contender, and in fact, I look at them as an experimental project. Less an indictment on LeBron's son, Bronny James, which I think is good that he did get his son there, but more about the fact that J.J. Redick has a huge learning curve managing not just LeBron James but Anthony Davis. The Lakers, to me, as lit on the court as the city of Los Angeles is as a destination to hang out in your downtime. So I would advise Brook Lopez to stay put if he can.
Well, he's here for one more year under contract, as is Bobby Portis, so that they would have to get moved, or Pat Connaughton. I know mm-hmm. Connaughton's value probably isn't all that high, but between Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, which one nets the Bucks more, do you think?
Can you repeat that last part of your question?
Yeah, which nets the Bucks more as far as in return via trade with Lopez and Bobby Portis in a deal here? If the Bucks are shopping either one of them, which one do you think gets
Lopez.
Them more?
I would say Lopez, because big men are at a premium right now. You know, there's a lot of guys that were looking to make moves for big men in the draft or in that iteration. So I would say Lopez more than I would Portis. What say you?
I would say Lopez as well. Bobby Portis is a fan favorite, obviously, but there is a growing contingent that get frustrated with Bobby Portis's defense and are fine by moving Bobby Portis if that can get them something back in return. Brook Lopez is a little bit older, not really sure he fits into what they're trying to do with Doc Rivers and so forth. So there's some questions there as well. I think this fan base is just frustrated, Scoop. I think that's where we're at. They're just frustrated. But at the end of the day, though, as I've pointed out, you can't win. They have won, but you can't win if your superstar is hurt. Giannis has been hurt 4 of the last 5 years in the playoffs, including when they went to the championship. They overcome it against Atlanta, who had their own injury problems that year on their way to the championship. But outside of that, if Giannis doesn't play, they're in trouble. And it's very hard to overcome losing Giannis, and he cannot stay healthy in the playoffs.
No, he can't stay healthy in the playoffs, and it makes you wonder. You know, I reported this, I believe it was back in 2020 when we were all on lockdown and figuring out next moves. You know, I know that Giannis at that point had met with Bucks ownership and gave a list of different people that he would love to have on his team. And Chris Paul was one of those guys, as well as James Harden, and there were a few other guys that were on that list. And Giannis has a way of kind of, from what I know, connecting with the ownership and telling what he wants and giving these quiet ultimatums. And you saw Paul George comparatively basically, you know, play cat and mouse, and so did Klay Thompson. And you see that they're no longer on their former teams. And so you wonder if that technique could be something Giannis, you know, could do. I know for years, not to incite your audience, but for years people joke about, you know, the fact that he could go to a Lakers team or a Golden State Warriors team. But you wonder if the Bucks don't get it together, you know, what and they're in the best way that they could, what can happen? I mean, that they fired Mike Budenholzer to keep Giannis happy. So, you know, they've definitely listened to his demands. But at what point is it going to be a standstill between both? Time will tell.
Time will tell. He is Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. Follow him on Twitter at Scoop B. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Enjoy your stuff on social media all the time. And, of course, Scoop B Radio. Thank you, dude.
Gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to be myself. I'll talk to you soon.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Scoop B on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.
I think they compete against each other, and they've done a good job. I really like what Oklahoma and what Minnesota's doing in a world where we're constantly talking about LeBron, the Warriors, the Clippers, and the Knicks. We're talking about Minnesota and Oklahoma, and I think that's great for basketball.
What about Dallas? I mean, if they're able to pull this trade off, this three-way trade, and they get Klay Thompson in this three-year deal that they're talking about, how much better does Dallas get adding him to what they already have?
Well, the whole Klay Thompson going to Dallas, I think, is good because, number one, Dallas benefits from Kyrie and Klay's ear for quite a bit of time, them both wearing Anta sneakers, a Chinese brand. That's great for branding and marketing purposes.
For sure.
And also, Dallas clean house by moving Tim Hardaway Jr. to Detroit, a team that just recently signed Tobias Harris as well. And hired J.B. Bickerstaff as their head coach. I think that when you look at Dallas, I think they're the team of the future. I mean, this is a team that really rebooted their roster in season, and they struggled at the beginning of the season. Like I feel like the in-season tournament is where they started to kind of get their mojo. But they really, really got their mojo when they got Daniel Gafford from the Washington Wizards, the landlord, as they call him. Adding Gafford to the fold, along with Kyrie, along with Luka and others in Jason Kidd's system. From folks that I speak with on the Dallas side, bringing in Klay is a dream situation because who better but to have a third shooter or a third scorer, particularly someone like Klay who can get the benefit of getting the basketball off double-team covers on Kyrie and Luka. It's a great move. Like, not only do you have lobs as your option, you have the three-point shot as the world being your oyster, so to speak. I think it's good. I don't envision that Dallas is finished, but I do think that this is a step in the right direction to really build a championship-caliber team in the next 2 to 3 years.
Scoop, GM LeBron failed, man. He didn't get anybody. And now I saw something before you came on that, well, now this puts him in a position to get – you know, as much money as he can get without having to take a discount to try and get somebody else into L.A., which means L.A. is not going to be any better next year probably than they were this year.
Are you shocked?
A little bit, yeah. I thought he would have been able to pull Klay off. I did. Going into this, I was like, yeah, he'll end up getting Klay Thompson, another old guy to go along with the collection of old guys he has already. I thought that was a possibility. I did. I really did. Now, Brook Lopez's name I've heard mentioned with the Lakers. I've heard Brook Lopez maybe mentioned with the Pelicans. Maybe they could use a Brook Lopez. I don't know if the Bucks end up trading Brook one way or the other, but it looks like to me that Lakers probably miss out now.
Well, to answer your question directly about Brook Lopez, well, you didn't ask a question to your statement. What I will say is that I put out a report last night. I'm scrolling through my Twitter as I'm speaking to you, but basically the Brandon Ingram thing could be
with the Kings.
That could be a bigger move. I reported yesterday that New Orleans Pelicans and Ingram are willing to work together to either get Ingram to a new team or bring Ingram back on a deal that works for both parties. Sacramento is a front runner, but Harrison Barnes and draft capital are things that the Pelicans may be considering. I say that to say this. If you look at the move that was made with the Atlanta Hawks and the Pelicans for DeJounte Murray and a couple of other moves that are being made, it could be part of a bigger picture or a bigger trade. You kind of saw that a couple of off seasons ago between the Wizards, the Lakers, and I believe it was Sacramento, where Spencer Dinwiddie was on the move, Kyle Kuzma was on the move, and some of those other pieces went to the Washington Wizards, went to the Sacramento Kings, and more. Who's to say that the Bucks could not be a part of that move? The Bucks, drafted a center. The Bucks have, been looking to improve, particularly because Jonas Valanciunas is now a member of the Washington Wizards. So nothing that I've heard, but if I am paying attention to the tea leaves, there could be a chance that the Bucks could be a part of a bigger move. But I think more than anything else, to directly answer your question about Brook Lopez, why go back to the Lakers when you have something good in Milwaukee with the Bucks? I don't look at the Lakers as a contender, and in fact, I look at them as an experimental project. Less an indictment on LeBron's son, Bronny James, which I think is good that he did get his son there, but more about the fact that J.J. Redick has a huge learning curve managing not just LeBron James, but Anthony Davis. The Lakers, to me, as lit on the court as the city of Los Angeles is as a destination to hang out in your downtime. So I would advise Brook Lopez to stay put if he can.
Well, he's here for one more year under contract, as is Bobby Portis. So they would have to get moved, or Pat Connaughton. I know Connaughton's value probably isn't all that high, but between Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, which one nets the Bucks more, do you think?
Which, can you repeat that last part of your question?
Yeah, which nets the Bucks more as far as in return via trade with Lopez and Bobby Portis in a deal here? If the Bucks are shopping either one of them, which one do you think gets
Lopez.
Them more?
I would say Lopez, because big men are at a premium right now. You know, there's a lot of guys that were looking to make moves for big men in the draft or in that iteration. So I would say Lopez more than I would Portis. What say you?
I would say Lopez as well. Bobby Portis is a fan favorite, obviously, but there is a growing contingent that get frustrated with Bobby Portis's defense and are fine by moving Bobby Portis if that can get them something back in return. Brook Lopez is a little bit older, not really sure he fits into what they're trying to do with Doc Rivers and so forth. So there's some questions there as well. I think this fan base is just frustrated, Scoop. I think that's where we're at. They're just frustrated. But at the end of the But at the end of the day, though, as I've pointed out, you can't win. They have won, but you can't win if your superstar is hurt. Giannis has been hurt four of the last 5 years in the playoffs, including when they went to the championship. They overcome it against Atlanta, who had their own injury problems that year on their way to the championship. But outside of that, if Giannis doesn't play, they're in trouble. And it's very hard to overcome losing Giannis, and he cannot stay healthy in the playoffs.
No, he can't stay healthy in the playoffs, and it makes you wonder. You know, I reported this, I believe it was back in 2020 when we were all on lockdown and figuring out next moves. You know, I know that Giannis at that point had met with Bucks ownership and gave a list of different people that he would love to have on his team. And Chris Paul was one of those guys, as well as James Harden, and there were a few other guys that were on that list. And Giannis has a way of kind of, from what I know, connecting with the ownership and telling what he wants and giving these quiet ultimatums. And you saw Paul George comparatively basically, you know, play cat and mouse, and so did Klay Thompson. And you see that they're no longer on their former teams. And so you wonder if that technique could be something Giannis, you know, could do. I know for years, not to incite your audience, but for years people joke about, you know, the fact that he could go to a Lakers team or a Golden State Warriors team. But you wonder if the Bucks don't get it together, you know, what and they're in the best way that they could, what can happen? I mean, they fired Mike Budenholzer to keep Giannis happy. So, you know, they've definitely listened to his demands. But at what point is it going to be a standstill between both? Time will tell.
Time will tell. He is Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. Follow him on Twitter at Scoop B. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Enjoy your stuff on social media all the time. And, of course, Scoop B Radio. Thank you, dude.
Gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to be myself. I'll talk to you soon.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Scoop B on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans.
chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.